Esselamu aleyküm ve rahmetullahi ve berekatuhu.
Maşallah. Jazakallah. Thank you. For the benefit of those who are not of the Islamic State, a reciter is called a hafiz when he has committed to memory every verse of the Holy Quran. This practice by Muslims has resulted in the Quran maintaining its purity as revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, peace be upon him, by Almighty God through the Archangel Jibreel. Muslims firmly believe that the Holy Quran is the final word of God Almighty. Brothers and sisters, let me make three preliminary remarks before I call upon our respected speaker. Tonight's address must be understood in its proper perspective. This is not a contest or a debate with Christianity, but it is a sincere attempt to expose and restore to its glory a divinely ordained message for all mankind. One merely has to refer to the following verses of the Quran to understand the seriousness of the obligations and duty on each and every Muslim in this regard. The Quran says, and I can find no better authority than the Quran itself, Surah 41, verse 33. Who is better in speech than one who calls men to God, works righteousness and says, I am of those who bow in Islam? Another surah, Surah 16, verse 125 of the Holy Quran. And invite all to the way of thy Lord with wisdom and beautiful preaching, and discuss with them in ways that are best and most gracious. For thy Lord knows best who have strayed from his path and who receive guidance. Secondly, brothers, the topic in discussion should enlighten us all on the respected, revered, and honorable position which Prophet Jesus, the Arabic terminology, Nabi Isa alayhi salam, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, holds in the eyes of Islam and in the eyes of Muslims. The Quran confirms and explains the miracle which surrounds his birth, life, and his most noble ministry. The prophethood of Prophet Jesus, Nabi Isa alayhi salam, is the cornerstone of every Muslim's belief. The myth of a Muslim being anti-Christ should clearly fall away tonight. Finally, we are indeed fortunate to have with us as experienced and as knowledgeable a scholar as Mr. Didak to explore this vital aspect of our belief. Mr. Didak is a well-known personality not only locally but internationally. His early exchanges with preachers and priests from Adam's mission has turned him into a committed student, scholar, and soldier of Islam. I have pleasure in calling upon Mr. Didak to address you, whereafter you will be free to ask him any question pertinent to the topic. Jazakallah, Mr. Didak.
الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. اللهم يا مفتح الأبواب ويا مسبب الأسباب ويا دليل الحائرين توكلت عليك يا رب العالمين. وأفوض أمري إلى الله إن الله بصير بالعباد. Mr. Chairman, ladies and gentlemen, just about 3 months ago, to be exact, on the 5th of June, 1983, on SADC TV, at the end of a lively debate on Islam and Christianity, the chairman, Mr. Bill Chalmers, commented. He said, "I think it can be said from this discussion that there is at present somewhat more accommodation on the Islamic side for the founder of Christianity than on the Christian side for the founder of Islam. What the significance of that is, we leave it to you, the viewer." This was on TV. He's talking to his viewers, some 2 million or more. So we leave it to you, the viewer, to determine. But I do think, Bill Chalmers concluded, but I do think you will agree that it is a good thing that we are talking together. This was what Bill Chalmers, in his charming manner, said about the attitude of the Muslims on the panel on concluding his program. From the feedback that I have received, I can safely confide in you that more than 90% of his audience, TV audience, who happen to be Christians, they were pleasantly but skeptically surprised. Most of them, they couldn't believe their own ears. They were thinking that perhaps the Muslims were trying to play to the gallery, that they were trying to flatter the Christian fellow countrymen, being situated as we are in this ocean of Christianity, South Africa. We happen to be less than 2% of the population. That we were, so to say, trying to scratch the Christians' back, trying to make them feel good so that they in turn might also say a few good words about our Muhammad. But I can assure you, Mr. Chairman, ladies and gentlemen, that this was far from the thoughts of the Muslims on the panel. Our Christian fellow countrymen are unaware that Islam is the only non-Christian faith which makes it an article of faith for its followers to believe in Jesus. No Muslim is a Muslim if he does not believe in Jesus. What we believe, we are made to say from the Holy Quran, that we believe that Jesus was one of the mightiest messengers of God. We believe that he was born miraculously, without any male intervention, which many modern-day Christians don't believe today. We believe that Jesus was the Messiah, the Christ. And we believe that he gave life to the dead by God's permission, and he healed those born blind and the lepers by God's permission. When I share this with some of our fellow Christian countrymen, they, so to say, are taken aback. They are thinking that we are trying to curry favor with them. But it has to be shown to them that whatever we Muslims say, we are saying this from our holy book, the Holy Quran. In our own language, we never take the name of this mighty messenger of God without saying, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, means revered Jesus, may peace be upon him. As our chairman did at the beginning, referring to Jesus Christ, he kept on repeating, Hazrat Isa, Hazrat Isa, meaning revered Jesus, revered Jesus, or alayhi salam. If our learned men, Muslim learned men, if they speak about this mighty messenger of God, without this respectful term, if he just said Isa, Isa, which means Jesus, Jesus, the man would be thrown out from his job. Uncouth, barbaric person, Satan, in name of the mighty messenger of God, without disrespectable terms.
Jesus Christ is mentioned in the Holy Quran by the name Jesus no less than 25 times. Whereas the name Muhammad occurs in this whole vast volume only 5 times. 20 more times Jesus is mentioned by name than the name Muhammad in this volume.
He is spoken of as Ibn Maryam, son of Mary, as Masih, the Messiah, Christ, as Rasulullah, messenger of God, Abdullah, servant of God, as the Spirit of God, as the Word of God, as the Sign of God. These are all the respectful terms applied to this mighty messenger.
There is not a single statement in this vast volume which one of the most jaundiced of Christians would take exception to. Even the most mentally sick person will never be able to take exception to a single statement made about Jesus in this holy book, the Quran. The term that is used is Isa. It is closer to the Afrikaans, Isa. You see, this was his name. In the original Hebrew, Esau. Classical, Yehoshua. This term, Jesus, is the Latinized form of the Hebrew word Esau. They Latinized it or Hellenized it by adding a J and an S to his name, which makes it sound something more like Greek or Roman instead of Jewish that it was. When he was born, he was named by his mother Esau, in Arabic, Isa. Now, we call him the Christ. Jesus is the Christ. We have not another Christ. When the first time this subject was mooted in this very place, over a decade ago, Christ in Islam, there was consternation among the Christian missionaries. They were thinking that perhaps when I say Christ in Islam, that I might take out of my hat another Christ, or out of my pocket another Christ. I had to assure them then, as I assure you now, that we have not got another Christ. The Christ in Islam that we are talking about is Jesus Christ. Some of our people think that the word Christ is synonymous with crucifixion. Because the Christian always talks about Christ crucified, Christ crucified, so they think that these two are synonymous terms, Christ meaning crucified. I want to assure them that this is a wrong concept that you have, if you have that. The word Christ has got nothing to do with the word crucifixion, except that this is what the Christian is preaching. This word Christ comes originally from the Hebrew word Messiah, in Arabic Masih. In Arabic, Masih, in Hebrew, Messiah, which means anointed. Priests and kings were anointed in consecration to the position as officially appointed. The Greek word for anointed is Christos. From the word Christos, the Christians lopped off the os, they cut it off. And they were left with Christ. So it seems like a unique name. Christ seems to be a unique name. Whereas this was a very common term among the Jews. If you have your Bibles, I will give you references. In the booklet given to you, you will find references there in the book of Isaiah chapter 45 verse 1. God Almighty is talking about his anointed Cyrus. The word anointed in Greek would be Christos. In Hebrew, it would be Messiah. His Messiah, Cyrus. His Christ, Cyrus. If you can lock off the off in the name of from Christos to Christ, then the same thing if you do to this word anointed in Greek, in the book of Isaiah chapter 45 verse 1, you would have Cyrus Christ.
And so many references. Anointed. You'll find a priest. Anointed priest means Christ priest. A pillar was anointed. The word there in Hebrew or Greek would be Messiah pillar, Christ pillar. Christ priest. Christ pots and pans. By God. No exaggeration. Whatever I'm telling you, word for word. There are 100 different places in the Old Testament where you'll find the word anointed, anointed, anointed. In the original, Messiah, Messiah, Messiah. Translated into Greek, Christ, Christ, Christos, Christos, Christos. Now, that does not in any way belittle Jesus Christ. Christ was anointed, means appointed by God Almighty for his position, his post. As a reformer among the Jews. Now the idea about Christ in Islam comes from Christ in the Quran. In the Holy Quran, if you open the index, most especially the one I have here with me, the Holy Quran by Abdullah Yusuf Ali, the table that is set outside the Taj Company, they are selling this. The Propagation Center has it, Islamic Book Center has it, and this book is being, we have a word for it, it's a hadia, but in English I can't help saying that it is being sold for 7 rand 50 cents. A volume of 2,000 pages, there is not another book on earth, an encyclopedia, that you can buy today, 2,000 pages for 7 rand 50. It is available absolutely free to every school, college and university and public library. Every mosque and madrasa free from the Islamic Propagation Center. And if you can't afford it, free to you. You have to write and tell us why we should give you one for nothing. Nobody has an excuse anymore for being without this book. You get this book and open the index right at the back. And in the index you'll find the subject Jesus and the J. On page 1837, Jesus, a righteous prophet, chapter 6, verse 85. His birth is described in two places. He's apostle to Israel. His disciples, taken up, like Adam, not crucified, no more than apostle, not God, sent with gospel, not son of God, and on and on and on. 15 different chapters in the Quran speak about this mighty messenger of God, Jesus Christ. But for our purpose tonight, let us begin at the beginning, his birth. I open for you, if you can open at home, in this book, chapter 3, verse 42. This is how it reads. وَإِذْ قَالَتِ الْمَلَائِكَةُ يَا مَرْيَمُ Behold, the angel said, O Mary, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَاكِ وَطَهَّرَكِ وَاصْطَفَاكِ عَلَى نِسَاءِ الْعَالَمِينَ That God Almighty has chosen thee and purified thee, chosen thee above the women of all nations. Chosen Mary above the women of all nations. I say, such an honor is not to be found given to Mary, the mother of Jesus, even in the Christian Bible. It continues. يَا مَرْيَمُ اقْنُتِي لِرَبِّكِ وَاسْجُدِي وَارْكَعِي مَعَ الرَّاكِعِينَ O Mary, worship thy Lord devoutly. Prostrate thyself and bow down in prayer with those who bow down. ذَلِكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الْغَيْبِ نُوحِيهِ إِلَيْكَ This is part of the tidings of the things unseen, which we reveal unto thee, O Apostle, by inspiration. وَمَا كُنْتَ لَدَيْهِمْ إِذْ يُلْقُونَ أَقْلَامَهُمْ So thou wast not with them when they cast lots with arrows, as to which of them should be charged with the care of Mary. أَيُّهُمْ يَدْخُلُ مَرْيَمَا وَمَا كُنْتَ لَدَيْهِمْ إِذْ يَخْتَصِمُونَ Nor was thou with them when they disputed the point. The story is that the mother of Mary, she was barren, and she prayed to God for a child. Like Zechariah also in his old age, he prayed for a child and John the Baptist was born. This mother of Mary, she also prayed for a child, and in the mercy of God, she conceived, and a child was born. And the child was Mary. She was yearning for a male child, a boy. But instead of a boy, a girl is born. And she had dedicated, she had vowed to dedicate this child for temple services. And the female is in no way like the male. She was disappointed. But what was she to do? She bided her time. When the child was big enough to be handed over to the temple for looking after the temple, looking after the priest, she takes this little child, Mary, and there was a dispute in the temple. Everybody wanted this beautiful child to be a godfather to this little child. And there was a dispute. Everybody wants a child. So they started casting lots, like what we say, head or tail, like the tossing of the coin. And it came to the turn of Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, that it came to his turn, and there was a dispute among the people that, you know, you are cheating. You know how we usually do when you lose. You say you are cheating. There was a dispute. Now God Almighty is reminding us through the lips of his holy prophet Muhammad that you were not there. Oh Muhammad, you were not there when they cast lots with arrows, nor were you there when they disputed the point. Where did you get this information from? The answer is in the verse itself. كَذَلِكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الْغَيْبِ نُوحِيهِ إِلَيْكَ. These are part of the tidings of the things unseen, which we reveal unto thee, O Apostle, by inspiration. He is given by inspiration by God Almighty. But the controversialist, the propagandist, the opponents of Muhammad, the opponents of Islam, they say, no, Muhammad concocted this. He copied his book from the Jews and the Christians. He says, this is given to me by inspiration. They say, no, this is his own handiwork. For the sake of argument, tonight, I will agree with the enemies of Islam who say Muhammad wrote the book for the sake of argument, knowing full well that this is not his work. We are assured in the Holy Quran, Allah says, وَمَا يَنْفِكُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ, that he does not speak from his own desire. إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ, it is no less than inspiration sent down to him. عَلَّمَهُ شَدِيدُ الْقُوَىٰ, he is taught by one mighty in power. Knowing full well that this is an inspiration, revelation from God, for the sake of argument, we will agree with the enemy that Muhammad wrote the book. In return, I am only asking something very simple, very easy. I want you to agree with me, friend and foe alike, that Muhammad was an Arab. The same attitude towards an Arab brother, that these are the children of bond women. Look down upon them for 3,000 years, and yet this Arab, Muhammad, the peace and blessings of God be upon him, he is saying that a Jewess, the mother of Jesus, she was chosen above the women of all nations. Not his own mother, or his wife, or his daughter Fatima, whom the Muslims believe will be the leader of the women of paradise. No. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was a woman chosen above the women of all nations. I say, account for that. Account for it. Why should an Arab go out of his way and provoke his own people and honor this Jewess? As some would say, a woman from his opposition, a nation who opposes the Arabs, why should he do that? Unless he was commanded to say so, to do so, which actually, this is what he says, that this is given to me by inspiration. It is not what I want to say or what I feel like saying. This is given to me and I have no alternative but to give it to you as I receive it, the message. Verse 45, chapter 3, verse 45. It continues. Verse 45. It continues. The birth of Jesus.
His qanatil malaikatu ya Maryamu. Behold, the angel said, O Mary, inna Allaha
يبشرك بكلمة منه, that Allah gives you glad tidings, good news of a word from him. اسمه المسيح, his name will be the Messiah, translated Christ. اسمه المسيح, عيسى بن مريم, Jesus the son of Mary, وجيها في الدنيا والآخرة, held in honor in this world and in the hereafter, ومن المقربين, and of the company of those nearest to God. What the Christians would say, sitting on the right hand of God. Many people misunderstand, thinking that God Almighty is sitting on a glorified chair, a throne, and Jesus Christ on another little chair by his side, like a little flea or a molecule. Imagine if God Almighty is sitting on a throne physically, then Jesus, you know, he wouldn't be even a speck. No, no. What it means is, in Eastern languages, when you say sitting on my right hand, it doesn't literally mean sitting on my right hand. It's a position of respect. The Quran says that he will be in the company of those nearest to God, not physically, not geographically, spiritually. And he will speak to the people. Fil mahdi wa kahlan, in childhood and in maturity. Wa mina salihin, and he shall be of the company of the righteous. This is a prophecy. The good news is being given that your child, as an infant, he will speak. And as a grown up, normally, naturally. But as an infant, in childhood, he will be gifted. And we find the fulfillment of this prophecy within months of this good annunciation was being made to her. Within months. And we find this in the Holy Quran in a chapter called Surah Maryam, meaning chapter Mary. This chapter 19 is named in honor of the mother of Jesus Christ. Surah Maryam, chapter Mary. You know, in this whole vast volume, there is no chapter in the name of Muhammad's mother, or his wife, or his daughter. Can you imagine? But the chapter 19 is in honor of the name of the mother of Jesus. Surah Maryam, chapter 19. It tells us, verse 27, I'm starting, that after the birth of the child, the circumstances being peculiar, she had retired to a remote place in the east. There is no Joseph the carpenter in the Quran. You know Joseph the carpenter? There's no mention about Joseph the carpenter here. This is a miraculous birth, and it speaks about it miraculously. There is no genealogy of Jesus, like we find in the New Testament, in the Gospel of St. Matthew and the Gospel of St. Luke. Between the two, they give this man, mighty messenger of God, 66 fathers and grandfathers. 66. A child that was born miraculously, they go out of the way to give him a genealogy. The Quran does not speak about any genealogy. It does not mention Joseph the carpenter or any other carpenter. So the circumstances of the conception being peculiar was immaculate. She retired to a remote place in the east, says the Quran, and after the birth of the child, she returned. Shamelessly, of course, carrying the little child infant in her arms. فَأَتَتْ بِهِ قَوْمَهَا تَحْمِلُهُ. At length, she brought the babe to her people, carrying him in her arms. قَالُوا, they said, يَا مَرْيَمُ, O Mary, لَقَدْ جِئْتِ شَيْئًا فَرِيًّا. So truly an amazing thing has now brought. They are shocked, knowing full well that she was not married. Where did you bring this child from? The insinuating, illegitimate child. Where did you get this child from? Shamelessly parading in the village. يَا أُخْتَ هَارُونَ, the old sister of Harun, coming such a noble ancestry of the children of Aaron, the brother of Moses, the Levite, the priestly class among the Jews. You come from such a priestly and noble family. Ya ukhta Haruna, ma kana abuki imra'a sawin, wa ma kanat ummuki baghiya. So your father was not a man of evil, nor thy mother a woman unchaste. Insinuating, where did you bring this illegitimate child from?
What is she to do? Would they listen to her explanation? Would you listen to your daughter's explanation? If she tells you, says, Daddy, you know, I heard some voices and now this child is born, you'll believe her. Would you?
They were in no mood to listen to such stories. What was she to do? She merely pointed to the baby. فَأَشَارَتْ إِلَيْهِ says the Quran. She merely pointed to the child and said, ask him. She knew that this was no ordinary child. Ask him. So they said, قَالُوا كَيْفَ نُكَلِّمُ مَنْ كَانَ فِي الْمَحْدِ سَبِيًّا. They said, how can we talk to one with a child in the cradle? A baby, an infant, how can we talk to him? And by a miracle, he spoke from his mother's arms and defended his mother against an unbelieving audience. He says,
قال إني عبد الله ثم certainly I am the servant of Allah. آتاني الكتاب. He has given me revelation. وجعلني نبيا. He has made me a prophet. وجعلني مباركا أينما كنت. وأوصاني بالصلاة والزكاة ما دمت حيا. وبرا بوالدتي ولم يجعلني جبارا شقيا. He said, I am indeed a servant of God. He had given me a revelation and made me a prophet. And he had made me blessed wheresoever I be. And he had enjoined on me prayer and charity as long as I live. And he has made me kind to my mother and not overbearing or miserable. He has made me kind to my mother and not overbearing or miserable. This is the first miracle that Jesus Christ performed according to this holy book of Islam. He defended his mother against an unbelieving audience, as an infant from his mother's arms. I want you to compare this first miracle of Jesus with the first miracle that Jesus Christ performed according to the Holy Bible. You know what miracle he performed? It was at the marriage feast at Cana. You read in the Gospel of St. John that Jesus and his disciples had gone there and they ran short of wine. So his mother comes to him, this is my son, knowing that he's got that mysterious power. God has given him power, spiritual power, that he can perform miracles. So she comes to him, he says, my child, these people have run short of wine. Help them, do something for them. So Jesus responds, he says, woman, what have I to do with thee? My time is not yet. But persuaded, he turned water into wine. And since then, wine has flowed like water in Christendom. Last year, our beautiful country, our good people, spent 2,000 million rand on alcohol. Last year, our good people spent 2,000 million rand on gambling. And yet, you see on TV again and again, some program or the other about plastics, about the crippled, about the blind, they haven't got enough money. We haven't got enough money. The government hasn't got enough money. 2,000 million responded on alcohol alone last year in our country. The first miracle in the Quran, he defends his mother as an infant. The first miracle in the Bible, he turns water into wine. Going back to the Annunciation, we had reached verse 45, 46, verse 47. When this good news was given to Mary about the birth of the Holy Son, she says, قَالَتْ رَبِّ أَنَّا يَكُنُوا لِي وَلَدٌ وَلَمْ يَمْسَسْنِ بَشَرٌ. She says, oh my Lord, how shall I have a son when no man has touched me? So the angel says in reply, قَالَ كَذَلِكِ اللَّهُ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ. Even so, Allah creates what He will. وَإِذَا قَدَى أَمْرًا. Whenever He decrees a matter, إِنَّمَا يَكُولُ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. Whenever He decrees a matter, He merely says, it be and it is. This is the Muslim concept of the birth of Jesus. For God to create a Jesus without a human father, He merely wills it and the thing comes into being. If He wants to create a million Jesuses without father, without mother, He merely has to will them into being. This is what we believe about the omnipotence of God in Islam. I had the occasion of sharing this with the Reverend, the head of the Baptist Society in Johannesburg. I had gone to Johannesburg on one of my usual trips, and I went to the Bible house. I was interested in an Indonesian Bible. I have reason for that. So I went and got one there. The Durban Bible house didn't have it, so I go to Johannesburg and I found the Bible in the Indonesian language. And while browsing through the quite a large volume, larger than this, a large volume, New Testament, Greek and English, side by side. Greek and English. So while handling that, I didn't know that I was being observed. The head of the Bible Society walked up to me, seeing my funny headgear and my beard. He was attracted, or he felt that it was a challenge in the Bible house. So he comes up to me and starts a conversation. He said, my interest in such an extensive volume. So I told him I was interested in comparative religion and I had something special that I wanted to look for inside. So he invites me for a cup of tea into his office. I accepted. Very kind of him. So sitting at his table, having tea with him, I started telling him my interest in this subject. That we Muslims, we believe in Jesus. We believe that he was one of the mightiest messengers of God. On and on, what I told you at the beginning. And the man seemed to be skeptical. You see, only retired reverends can become heads of Bible societies. He was much older than me then. I don't know whether he's still alive. Reverend Duncan. He was skeptical. So I started reading to him the Quran in Arabic and giving him the translation. Behold, the angel said, O Mary, and on and on and on. By the time I reached this verse, that for God to create, he merely wills it and the thing comes into being, and God will appoint him an apostle to the children of Israel, teaching him the law and the gospel, and that he will give life to the dead by God's permission, and he will heal those born blind and the lepers by God's permission. Reverend Dunkers was elated. He says, you know, this is the same as in my book. What I am reading to him from the Quran, by heart, what I had known, he says, this is the same in my book, in the Bible. I said, yes, on the face of it is the same. But I said, you know, if we analyze it intently, you'll find that the difference between what you have been reading in the Bible and what I'm reading to you is chalk and cheese. You know, this expression, chalk and cheese, the North Americans didn't understand. You see, because they are not used to chalk anymore. They say crayon. So when you say chalk and cheese, the younger generation never heard the word chalk. Means both apart, directly opposite, one to the other. Chalk and cheese. You say, no, how can you say that? I said, look, I will demonstrate it to you, the difference. On the face of it, if a Christian comes across what I have spoken just now, written in English without the Arabic text, pieces of paper with these verses that I have quoted to you now. He picks it up. In 1,000 years, the Christian will never guess he's reading the Quran. In 1,000 years. If he reads what I have read to you, he will say, perhaps this is the Jehovah's Witness version, if he hasn't seen one. Perhaps it's the Roman Catholic version, if he hasn't seen one. Perhaps it's the New World Translation, and so on and on. The Living Bible, if he hasn't seen one. He'll never guess he's reading the Quran. It's going so close, one with the other. But I said, when you compare, it's chalk and cheese. So what do you see? Hey, what do you find? I said, look, when the good news was given to Mary, the mother of Jesus, in the New Testament, in the Bible, she says, how can this thing be when I know not a man, means physically? I know not a man. In the Quran, قَالَتْ رَبِّ أَنَّا يَكُونُوا لِي وَلَدٌ وَلَمْ يَمْسَسْنِي بَشَرٌ. She says, oh my Lord, how can I have a son when no man has touched me? Means the same thing. Sense the sense means the same thing. The only difference is the choice of words. Whether no man has touched me or I know not a man, both meaning physically, sexually. But the reply to these question of hers is revealing.
We are told in the Gospel of St. Luke that the angel said, "And the Holy Ghost will come upon thee, and the power of the Most High will overshadow thee." I'm only quoting.
I am telling the Reverend Dunkers that you are giving a stick to the atheist, the agnostic, the communist, to beat you with. Because he will ask you, how did the Holy Ghost come upon Mary? How? How did the Almighty overshadow her? How? We know it doesn't mean that. We know it is metaphorical. But the language is down to earth. Language, Holy Ghost coming upon her, and the power of the Most High overshadowing her.
In the Holy Quran, the same thing is being spoken. But the language, وَإِذَا قَضَىٰ أَمْرًا, whenever he decrees a matter, فَإِنَّمَا يَقُولُ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ, he merely says it be and it is. For God to create, he merely wills it and the thing comes into being. It is not necessary for the Holy Ghost or anybody to come upon Mary or overshadow her. The language. And the eminent Billy Graham some years ago in King's Park, I was there with my secretary, Mr. Vanka then. He was there. And he dramatized this birth of Jesus. For God to create, he merely wills it and the thing comes into being. But what does this miraculous birth prove? Does that make him a God? Or a begotten son of God? He said no. The Quran says, إِنَّ مَثَلَ عِيسَىٰ إِنَّ اللَّهِ كَمَثَلِ آدَمَا. He says the similitude of Jesus in the sight of God is like that of Adam. خَلَقَهُ مِن تُرَابٍ, he created him from dust. ثُمَّ قَالَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ, and he said, be and he was. If Jesus becomes God, or the begotten son of God, because he had no earthly father, then Adam would be a greater God, because he had no father and no mother. This is the argument. If this makes Jesus God, because he had no earthly father, then in that case, whose father was Adam, who was Adam's father? God. So he is more preeminently God's son than Jesus. This is what the Quran says, and you believe, everybody believes, that Adam was created without a father, without mother. But the Christian missionary, he says, no, you see, Adam was made from the dust of the ground. He was created, but Jesus was begotten. He was begotten by God. And I have been asking learned people, the Lady, the Master of Theology, the Reverend, I said, excuse me, please. Will you please explain to me, when you say begotten, not made, what are you trying to emphasize? I want you to tell me what you are really trying to tell me. You say begotten, not made. And believe me, in 40 years, I haven't come across a single learned Englishman who had ventured out to explain to me what it means. Not that they don't know. But it's a horrifying thought. You're trying to articulate begotten, not made. I said, explain what it means. It had to be an American. They have attacked the Americans. An American. When I posed the question, he said, it's inspired by God. I said, what? He said, no, I don't mean that. You ask me what it means. I'm only explaining what it means. Inspired by God. But Adam was made from the dust of the ground. So I said, look, there is another Superman in your book, the Bible. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, book of Hebrews, that is the name of the book of the Holy Bible. Book of Hebrews, chapter 7, it speaks about Melchizedek, the high priest of Salem. Salem, Salam, Islam, the high priest of Salem, to whom Abraham gave tithe, taxes, he paid his zakat to this priest. And Paul tells us that without father, without mother, without beginning, without end, without descent,
made like unto the Son of God. No father, no mother, no end, no beginning, no end, and no descent. So you tell me, now who can that be except God himself? Only God could have no beginning and no end. Adam had a beginning and he had an end. Jesus had an appearance. He had a beginning in the stable. We are told in the Gospel of St. Luke that when he was 8 days old, he was circumcised and named Jesus by the angel when he was in his mother's womb. So if he was in his mother's womb, that means he had a beginning. And according to the Christians, he gave up the host and the cross. So he had an apparent end. This man, Melchizedek, no father, no mother, no descent, no beginning, no end. I said, worship him. The man deserves to be worshipped. But nobody seems to have heard of him. It's an amazing thing. When I showed this to the learned men of Christianity, I said, look at this. And they seem to be seeing it for the first time. Never said before. I said, it's there. You're reading it. What are you reading? However, I'm asking the reverence between these two versions. The one, the Quranic version of the birth of Jesus, and the other, the biblical version of the birth of Jesus. I asked him, which would you prefer to give to your daughter? And he bowed his head in humility, and he said, I would prefer to give the Quranic version. The man was honest. He was humble. I would prefer to give the Quranic version. But people don't want to have access to this book. They don't want to see it. They don't want to touch it. I had some sick people in my office this morning. A pastor of the Pentecostal church this morning in my office. And I'm asking whether he's seen the Quran. He says, no. I said, look, you haven't read the Quran. He says, no, I don't want to touch it. I don't want to see it. I said, look, this book, 1,000 million people in the world today who take this as a book of authority. Even out of curiosity, you also see this book. If you want to understand the mentality of these 1,000 million people, common sense demands that you see the book. Common sense. You ought to know what the guy is thinking, what he's talking about. He'll never touch it. He'll never touch it. The sick people. Sickness beyond remedy. I said, just from the worldly point of view, look, in our universities, they're teaching our children to analyze Das Kapital by Karl Marx. In the country, the book is banned. Das Kapital by Karl Marx is banned. But in our universities, our students have to study. They want to know how to give battle to that sickness. If we are sick, the Muslims, if we are sick, if you want to understand our sickness, then here is the book. It will tell you why we are sick, what we are talking, and why we are talking the things that we are talking. But if you don't have access to this book, if you don't want to see this book, how will you know? How are you going to give battle to the sickness? No, but it's a sickness. That sickness is a sickness beyond repair. So what makes our main difference, the main difference between the Muslim and the Christian, is this image of Christ. Look, we say he was one of the mightiest messengers of God. He was born miraculously. He gave life to the dead by God's permission. He healed those born blind and the lepers by God's permission. We are going together. The Muslim and the Christian is going together. The parting of the way is when the Christians say that Jesus Christ is God Almighty who came down to earth as a man. He is God incarnate. God taking human flesh. We Muslims, we say God does not incarnate. He doesn't take human form. This is our battle. So what makes him God? Look, his birth. If it is his birth, then Adam is greater than Jesus. If it is birth, Melchizedek is greater than Jesus. These are all false standards. I agree. Still agree. These are false standards of judging. But if you bring these standards, false standards, that look according to your own standards, you will lose. You will come out second best. So what makes him God? I was speaking to Reverend Dr. Morris of the Presbyterian Church in Canada, D.D. He had come to South Africa on a visit, and I had taken him to the Golden Peacock in Durban. Not Tehran, here in Durban, there's a Golden Peacock, beautiful restaurant. I had taken them for lunch. And at the table, I was telling him, I said, look, we believe in Jesus. All these things about this mighty messenger of God. The only real difference is this, the divinity. And further, I said, look, you have no authority. There is not a single verse in the whole vast volume of the Bible, 66 books. There is not a single verse where you find it unequivocally written, Jesus says, I am God, or where he says, worship me. There isn't. I said, there is nowhere in the Bible where he says, me and the God Almighty are one and the same person. And that tickled his memory. These words of mine tickled his memory. He said, he did. I said, wait. I said, I am prepared to accept. I know that Jesus will never lie. If he says he is God, I am prepared to accept him as God. If he says worship me, I am prepared to worship him. I don't speak for my brother, and nor my sister. I speak for myself. Because if there was such a thing, if Jesus made such a claim, I submit unreservedly. Where did he say? He said, no, he did say. I said, what? He said, I and my Father are one. Jesus did say, I and my Father are one. So I'm asking the Reverend Dr. Morris, D.D., I said, what is the context? Context. He starts staring at me. The biryani is there. He kept on staring at me. I said, why, sir? Don't you know what is the context? I said, you see, what you quoted is the text. John chapter 10, verse 30. Text. I want the context, the text that goes with it before or after. What is the context? And the man kept on staring at me. As if he didn't understand English. He is D.D. and D.D. So he said, do you know the context? He's asking me. I said, of course I know the context. So what is the context? I said, well, let us start from John, that same chapter 10, verse 23. So he starts. Usually, my Christian brethren, as soon as you ask for something, they have a Bible under the arm, they take it out. I said, oh, put that Bible away. You know what you're... Look, if you quoted me, well, surely you know, man, in what sense he made that utterance. Put the Bible down. He didn't have a Bible, nor did I. So, what is the context of John? It starts in verse 23. It reads, and Jesus walked in Solomon's porch, meaning in the temple of Jerusalem, alone. I don't know why he was tempting the devil. Walking alone. You know, he had condemned for the formalism, the ceremonialism, the going for the letter of the law, forgetting the spirit, he said, you hypocrite, you generation of vipers, you whited sepulchres, you wicked and adulterous generation. These are all these beautiful epithets he had thrown at them. And a little while before, he had gone into the temple and he made a whip, knotted whip, and he started whipping the people and he upset the money exchanges tables and upset their money. Look, when you do things like that, people hesitate for you. And the Jews were not in a hurry to forget.